Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Something to be said about finding your voice and so many of those
things. Oh my God, like that's what my therapist would say.
Is it? Maybe I'm your therapist all along.
That would be amazing.
Weighing in at 120 pounds of pure angst, she is the girl promotion of Kennedy Copeland.
Kennedy Copeland, how are you doing? Oh, God.
I'm awake now.
God. Was that loud? I'm never sure.
What did you do? Just flip a switch. Oh, my God. Don't even start. Are you serious?
This is going to be
off the docks.
Absolutely incredible.
It's going to be a train wreck. Can I help you? And can I help you? Okay, you're fine.
So for those listening on the podcast, talk us through the dog friends that we have with us today.
Okay, so if you are seeing the visual, I will show you who is who. Okay, I guess we're starting with Channing. Okay, so this is Channing.
Hi,
this is my roommate's dog. This is also my roommate's dog, Lucy. Oh my God, and they're the worst. Mine are good. Mine is Peter. And then also Trooper over there. Oh, he's just, he just picked out a toy on his own because he's so good.
what a lovely gang of characters. So what's it like living there so is it you and one other person and then four dogs?
Yeah, it's my roommate who I also work with, and we work at an animal shelter, which explains why we accumulated so many.
Are quite a few of these are dogs that have come into your shelter and you've just gone, we need them. We need them at our place.
Not necessarily. I like to tell them, like, I wasn't supposed to have them. It was just, so my roommate and I, we work in the behavior department. So if they're, you know, more difficult to place or if they're just not safe to place, but I've been working with them for a while, of course I'm going to get attached to them. So I'm like, well, I can't let anything happen to them. So I just bring them home with me and then they're my problem now.
I can imagine that happens not just at your place, but at animal shelters everywhere. I'd be a nightmare if I lived in an animal shelter, but like, I need all of them. All these boys need to come home with me. They all have to.
I mean, ours, not to brag, I like to think ours is, I don't want to say a little bit more advanced, but we don't euthanize due to space, unlike many shelters, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And because we have a behavior department, these guys get like chance after chance and whatnot. So thankfully, you know, nothing bad happens very frequently. So it's not as nightmarish as it could be.
Well, they're all beautiful and you're in good company.
Thank you.
They're lovely, lovely company. And
I'm giving them rubs so they're quiet. Please.
You know what? If they want to suggest a few wrestling matches to watch while stranded on a desert island as well, that's absolutely fine.
Okay.
They can do that too.
We'll see what they have to say.
I mean, that's part of the reason why you're here today. So yes. I've asked you to have a think about three wrestling matches. that you would watch.
I did my homework.
Wow. Do you know what? It's right? It reassures me because, you know, full disclosure, normally before these interviews start, I'll always speak to whoever's kind enough to join me on the island and I'll say, are you happy with the concept of the show? And most of the time they'll go, oh yeah, that's fine. But you'll get some that'll go, what are we talking about? And I go, oh, no, I've got to explain.
Oh, see, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be like a noob. Or like look like a poser and be like, I don't know. Cause I kind of like choke. Don't even, you're fine. I tend to choke up when I'm put on the spot. And so it's like, I swear I watch wrestling. I just can't think of it.
But you've done research, which I love the fact that there was a notepad there containing
yes
copious amounts of thoughts and processes. So that's good. So we're gonna go through each match one by one. We'll do the first match now. We'll have a chat about some other stuff. We'll do the second match in a bit, have a chat about some other stuff, and then we'll end on the third match.
I like this.
There's a flow. It will make sense. What would you like the first match to be, Kennedy?
So when you first mentioned this subject, the first match that came to mind was Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura at TakeOver Dallas, I want to say it was. I don't have that jotted down, but yeah, no, that's like my comfort match. You know, people have like comfort foods. That's always my one where I'm like, if I want to just put something on or even just have like white noise in the background, I'll put that on, just like everything from just the, like the atmosphere and just like the crowd reactions. It's just a grand old time.
The second time in just a couple of weeks we've had this match come up, and I love the fact
really
that
who else had it.
I was trying to remember who else had it this week. Oh, we just did an episode where their first match they chose was
this one
it was Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn. Their first night, it was Kid Bandit, I do believe, who was on.
Oh my god, we're gonna have to be friends.
Yes, now you and Kid Bandit have to bond over it when you yes bump into them.
I'm gonna have to reach out to them.
but what makes this match in particular such a comfort match for you?
So I had loved Nakamura for the longest time, and I was really stoked at the time for him to go to WWE. We don't have to touch upon how that went. and I always liked Sami Zayn, you know, right from the. I feel like I was kind of a late bloomer when it came to like the independent scene, so. You know, I hadn't actually heard of a lot of these guys until they came to NXT. Like, you know, Sami Zayn was on like the first NXT pay-per-view or whatever you want to call it. And I was like, oh, I dig this guy. I think it's the ska that might have something to do with it. So I liked both people. And I was very excited, again, at the time to see what Nakamura could bring to WWE. And I mean, he delivered at NXT. I had been a fan of his for a couple years. He actually kind of got me. You know, we all go through phases where we're like, oh, just screw wrestling. You know what I mean? I'm sure we all have that.
Yeah.
So I was kind of going through one of those. It was just a phase. But he had started getting some buzz in New Japan with his matches at like Wrestle Kingdom 9 and 10, I want to say, with Ibushi and Styles. And so I remember watching them and just being like, who is this guy? Like, holy crap, just his charisma, and I was just captivated. So to put the two, yes, I was, Lucy. so just to put the two of them together, I'm like, oh my god, like two of these awesome people in the same ring. So it was just overall a really cool experience to see what they could put together, and they delivered.
So who was it then? So well, I want to get into how you started as a fan in a minute, but who brought you back? So the lapsed fans, or who or what brought you back from being a lapsed fan in wrestling?
Depends on when we're talking, because there's been a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So of course I started as a fan in like the Attitude Era. Yeah, I did, Luce. And then
Luce was WCW, so there's a lot of resentment.
Oh,
there.
Well, this is awkward. I never actually watched WCW. It's weird, like watching all that stuff now on the network. I'm like, oh damn, like I missed out. But yeah, I watched the Attitude Era, and then of course you get made fun of in school for it. So then you kind of like distance yourself. And then, you know, at one point I started training and then I quit. So I'm like, this is not for me. And then I actually got back into wrestling. I think it was around Mania. I'm awful with like numbers and stuff. 29. And I remember seeing the shield on the screen and I was like, yo, like these guys are so cool. So then I got back into it again. And then like, it kind of faltered. So then by the time I actually went back to training, it was shortly after I had seen Nakamura. So I would definitely say like, he was one of the ones that got me back in, that time around, at least.
With your first time around in wrestling, I've read previously that Kane was a big factor in you discovering wrestling. That visual of Kane surrounded by fire was something you went, oh,
it was terrifying, but you can't look away.
So, I mean, also, the other one as well, I heard Sable, but not for obvious reasons.
That's what always makes me laugh. Yeah, because like, you know, I didn't know any, I was like 5 at the time or whatever. So I didn't know like what Playboy was. I mean, I had an idea from older brother. Sorry, I didn't know you were taking a drink. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
I think I'm upsetting Lucy too. So yeah, like in my 5-year-old mind, like I'm seeing this like badass babe power bombing dudes, and like now I understand, and like working with Luna, who at the time again also frightened me, but you can't look away, and like now I get that, you know, Luna, God bless her soul, she carried, you know, Sable's ass and whatnot, but like I'm seeing the physical aspect of things and not just like this model. So that's, I told my dad I wanted to be like Sable. He was like, well, I don't know about that.
Every dad's worst nightmare, I'd imagine, when they're so young to go, I want to be like that lady in the naughty magazines.
With the, you know, the things over her, her chest.
But it was an innate desire to kick the shit out of other blokes. And that's great. And that's where it should come from.
So he doesn't like that either. He doesn't like the intergender wrestling. So I think either aspect of it, he's like, no, no Sable.
Where's he at now? Is he still not come around to that thing?
Oh, my dad?
Yeah.
I think he thinks some of it is really cool. I mean, he thinks the fact that like I have a belt and everything is kick ass. But what I like to do, God bless his soul, is if I take like a crazy bump or whatever, the first thing I do is like send it to him just to get his reaction. And he'll always be like, one of these days you're going to get hurt. And I'm like, got him.
I can imagine that Bulldozer Matt Tremont is a very welcome guest at your house. And that's the thing he's been sent through.
So I sent him, the last clip I sent him was getting suplexed onto the floor. And he's like, isn't that guy like supposed to be your mentor and your friend, and he uses friend in quotes and whatnot. I'm like, yeah, that's why we face each other. He's like, none of this checks out.
Away from,
yeah, no, I don't.
Sorry, go on. I interrupted you.
Oh no, I don't know how he feels about Tremont, but I'd like to see him try to have some choice words with him.
I'd love at some point for there to be the opportunity where your dad can be ringside for something death matchy. I feel like it'd be quite telling.
Oh my God. It was hard enough to get him to come watch, like when I was first starting out, you know, the local show, there's not too many. I'm in New York, upstate New York specifically, and there's not too much here. So whenever there is something here, when I was starting out, it'd be like in a battle royal. I'd be like, Dad, you should come out. And it was like pulling teeth to get him. He would go. And he would, you know, I think he would end up enjoying it, but I don't think he's going to go out of his way to see a death match.
What led you to live in upstate New York?
I just have been born and raised here, and I haven't left. I never, like when I graduated, I still stayed. Oh. Yeah, I did. Oh,
Lucy's glad you did.
Because I friggin' take her outside and stuff. You're welcome.
Away from the wrestling side, because the other thing that you do with the string to your bow is jiu-jitsu. And I'm keen to know which came along first in terms of a potential career. Was it doing stuff in jiu-jitsu or was it getting into wrestling?
So it was always wrestling. Like I said, that's been a part of my life since I was like 5 years old. It's just something I could never let go. Jiu-jitsu actually was a happy accident. I didn't even know what it was when I walked into a gym. Like, I didn't even know how to pronounce it. I was like, huh? I was with my boyfriend at the time. He was an amateur wrestler for like all these years. And he wanted to get into MMA. So there was a school that opened up around where we live. And so he went in to check it out and I just went with him. And he ran into one of his high school buddies who was like, oh, you guys should totally do jujitsu. That's literally how it was. And I was like, what's that? And I was like, oh, that's like the stuff on the ground. That's, I can do that. I can't punch. I can't kick. I was like, but I would love to rip people's arms off. So that came well after wrestling. And I just kind of stumbled upon that.
Do you think had you not fallen into wrestling, you'd have ended up doing more stuff with jiu-jitsu? Or had you not fallen into wrestling, where do you think you would have gone?
I don't know. Because I think the reason I fell into jiu-jitsu, you know, wrestling played a big part. And it's funny because that was actually after the first time I had started training and then quit. And so I was just looking for something to do. And, you know, I don't think I would have been with that boyfriend at the time. Cause like, that's how we, you know, we bonded over wrestling. So if wrestling wasn't in my life, I don't know what I would be doing right now. I really don't.
You've mentioned previously that your first round of training isn't something that went auspiciously the way you wanted it to for multiple reasons. But when you mm-hmm. came back, it was a healthier experience for you, wasn't it? Slightly healthier.
Well, I think the experience itself, like as far as the training and whatnot, not really. But I think at that point, you know, I was a couple of years older and I was, I don't even know if I could say I was in like a better headspace. I think I was just more stubborn. I was like, no, this is what I want to do. And if this is the only place around that I can do it, then so be it. I'm just going to have to bite the bullet. So I think I was just more hard-headed that time around.
It shows a passion healthy. It shows how destined you were to do it, like how passionate you are to go, even though I've had this bad experience at this one place. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna do it again.
Yeah. And I mean, at that point it was just like, I don't even care if I have to kind of learn on the go. You know, if I like go to a show and can get some extra ring time beforehand or like do seminars, something. I was very determined. I was like, I don't like being I understand, you know, if you have to quit something, that's fine. But I couldn't let this go.
Like you're obviously saying this was all you were ever going to do. It's all you ever wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going
to
make
it. I owed
it
to my toddler self, you know?
I like that. I like a lot of times we do things thinking the younger version of us is going to be over the moon that we got there.
Yeah. I've legitimately like, I guess maybe. In a sense, I was in a slightly healthier place because like I would legit talk to my therapist about this. She's like, why do you do this? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I can't. It's not anything you can ever put into words. But I did mention like this is something that I wanted since I was a kid. And she's like, it's OK to like change paths. And I was like, I know that, but something is telling me not to. And I'm kind of glad I listened to that because I'm having the time of my life right now.
When was it for you then? Because you'd had a few moments, as you say, with the training and the environment there wasn't great. But when was the moment for you when the getting into the wrestling world, when it truly clicked? Is there a particular moment where you went, this is it now, I'm getting it, I'm getting there?
I don't know if there was a particular moment. I think it was more so, like I said, I don't like to quit things, but like, if I have to, I will. And so there's kind of I need to like have a flow chart here. So I started training, I quit, went back a couple years later. And when I went back, the imposter syndrome was real. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And then I quit again due to some like family issues and like personal reasons. And so the third time I was like, okay, this like, literally third time is the charm. This is it. You know, if this doesn't work out, then this isn't for me. And so I think at that point it was just kind of screw it. And with me, if I have like a screw it mentality, I tend to do better. Like I try not to get too attached because then I'm too invested and then I screw up. You know what I mean? Because I like overthink it. So the third time around, I was like, I'm just going to have fun. Whatever comes of it, comes of it. And so I think it was just having that mentality in the back of my mind was like, we're just going to have fun this time. And that's the plan. And so far I've been kind of sticking with that. So not a particular moment, but just.
I get it. I like, and that's what's brought you to where we are today. We're going to move on to your second wrestling match now. So we had Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura. What's this one then? I'm intrigued. So
I legit, they're not in like any particular order. It was more so just like, okay, three matches go. And like, these were the first three to pop in my head in this order. So the second one is Edge versus Mick Foley at Mania 22. Might be a little biased. Might have a thing for Edge is all, you know. But yeah,
that's where the surname comes from, isn't it?
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Where
does the first name come from, though?
So also kind of relates to Edge. So it comes from Miles Kennedy, who does his theme.
Wow.
See, it all comes full circle. That's like the theme of my life.
Is Edge aware of the homage that you're paying to him?
I tweet him a lot because I'm really annoying. I tweeted him once because actually it's on my wall. My coworkers made me an action figure. And so the coworker that actually like he's into wrestling as well. And he collects action figures and he actually like put mine next to his Edge action figure. And I was like, oh my God, like that's my wildest dream. And so I tweeted that and I tagged him. He actually liked it. And it was like the only tweet he's ever liked of mine. But I was like, he knows I exist. So I don't know.
Have you still got the figure? Knows. Did you say, have you still got the actual figure?
Yeah, it's hang on, hold on.
I'm keen to. That's the one. Amazing.
Yeah.
They oh, that's are, great.
I know. I have no words.
That's a true friend.
They didn't have to do that. Yeah, I was like, I didn't even know that was an option.
So this particular one, obviously, as an Edgehead, as you clearly are, why does this match jump out more than any other? Because Edge has had a career with a litany of bangers. Like, why this one?
I think because this is so stupid. So a lot of people ask me how I got into deathmatch. Also a happy accident. So basically, I was scheduled to have a match with G Raver super last minute. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know how to do any of this. And so I just kind of accepted my fate and was like, all right, I guess I'm taking tattoo needles to the head and whatnot. And then ever since then, like, that's what planted the bug. So when people are like, what got you into deathmatch wrestling? It was like, when I had to face G Raver. And so then I had a match a couple months after that and it was supposed to be with Jimmy Lloyd, and then Dylan McKay was added to it. And again, it was going to be, you know, weapons and whatnot. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I went with the first thing that I knew. I was like, all right, let me get some ideas here. So that was the match that I watched. And I even pitched. I was like, well, I want to do like a thumbtack spot. I was like, if Edge can do it, so can I.
So this again, is one that you watched comfort. To kind of make notes on how to put together a death match, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. I was like, we can't go wrong with Mick Foley. And I was like, and the fire spot was epic. So
I love that the story behind that goes is that Vince hated it. He didn't want the fire spot there. Vince McMahon didn't want them to do a fire spot. It was too much. It was too much for WWE, but they convinced him to do it anyway, providing that it was quick and it was the end of the match, which it was. And they haven't done it, and they haven't done anything like it since in WWE. And I think that's why this stands up so well.
Yeah.
There's not been anything else like it.
It was so good. I don't think they'd have to do it again. You know what I mean?
No.
Like one and done. I didn't know that, though.
That's what I've heard that, is that Vin, he's never a fan of it, but it was just...
Is he a fan of?
Exactly. And Joey Styles...
What does he like?
He likes big, sweaty men. That's pretty much...
Oh, okay.
If you're 7 foot five, then you're fine. You're going to be all right.
Oh, okay. I can agree with that, I guess.
But the other thing that I love about the one you've chosen there is Joey Styles on commentary. like low key, a really wonderful little addition, completely by accident,
yeah,
because he was on just doing commentary for Raw at that point. And who better to bring in, you know, at this time? And as they have what is the closest to sort of like an ECW style match, you've got the voice of ECW screaming, "Oh my God," as the table mm-hmm. spot happens. It's perfect.
Yeah. And I can even remember the one line where he's like, "I'm losing my WrestleMania virginity." I don't know why that one sticks out, but it does.
I just fail to see why Joey Styles didn't stick around with lines like that. I'm sure Vince loved it. Sure, he loved him dropping things like It does bring us neatly onto the deathmatch stuff. And I was, you know, and oh. we were going to talk about how it
nice
was
segue.
Indeed a happy act. It's like we planned it, isn't it? It's like we planned it.
I swear we didn't, people.
but as I was going to say, like, your first one was a happy accident.
Mm-hmm. It's my whole life.
But sometimes
I was
best.
A happy accident. Okay.
Oh, were you? Were you told that?
I think. I don't know. I mean, I'm number 6 out of 6.
Definitely a
so,
happy
like,
accident.
Chances are if you're the last one. Yeah, come on.
unless your folks really like even numbers.
Maybe. I don't know. Mine tell me all the time that I don't know if you saw my shoot name when I logged on there, but that's, they were like, "Oh, we wanted to name one of our kids that." I'm like, "You couldn't have named the first 5.
I just kept forgetting.
So,
my younger brother is the family's happy accident. We all laugh about it now. It's fine. But he's
a happy one.
Oh yeah, he's yeah. turned out all right 30 years later. He's done all right. But it is funny. It is. It comes up in conversation most times when we're together and go, "Hey, look, you weren't meant to be here, so
yike."
So get a round of drinks in. It's the least you can do. So the happy accident happens. What goes through your head? Because obviously you're very screw it, let's do it type mentality. But what goes through your head as you're waiting to go out for what you weren't expecting to be a death match, hardcore match? What is now going to be just nonsense? What goes through your head?
So again, I think it has to do with being hard headed. I remember talking to G Raver, and I was like, "Yeah, like I studied, I watched all this stuff, and I love, you know, your drop kick off of the apron and all that." He's like, do you really want to take all of this?" He's like, we don't have to. Like, this is G Raver saying this. And I was like, "No, dude, like, you don't understand." So I literally told him, I was like, "I'm fueled by spite. So I don't think anybody would ever see me like in this position. And like, this is my chance. You know what I mean? Like, this is my chance to like grab people's attention and stuff. And also to like prove, all, you know, I always say you should do things for yourself and not for other people, but like I allowed an exception. I was like, I want to prove all those people that I don't think I can do this. I want to prove them wrong. So he was like, "All right, let's do it then." So it was, I was nervous, but it was, I tried to just be more focused on like determination. So again, I was just being stubborn.
In the match then, I don't know how much of it you remember from it, because I can imagine there's a lot of blurs in that
actually,
time that you're out there.
I remember a lot. It was like something I can pinpoint where like, okay, my life is going to be different from here on out. So I remember a lot of it.
So what was there a particular moment that sticks out to you that in that match where you went, "Yeah, this is what we're doing from now on. This is all different."
I have to say the first thing that pops up in my head is, so Raver lifted me up for like a razor's edge, but there was an ironing board in the corner. And I was just like, I was literally like, "Okay, this is what we're doing." And then it's just been kind of the theme.
Because it
for
takes
the rest
a
of my
lot.
Career.
Because you know, to people who don't do the great things that you do, it's the whole idea is that it's all controlled and it's well put together. But you've almost got to, like you say, you've got to let it happen. You've got to the mm-hmm. more you sort of you have to fight your body's instincts to tense up as you're hitting these things, because otherwise you're gonna do damage if you do.
Right. And I think like I'm also, it's very cliche, but I'm kind of getting to the point where I do believe that things happen for a reason. So like, you know, all throughout school and everything, I'd have panic attacks and stuff. And like, I'd always remember the piece of advice, like literally just ride the wave. Like, you can't fight it, because that makes it worse. So I remember thinking, like, I'm up there over his shoulders, about to be thrown into an object in the corner. None of that is natural. And I was like, just ride the wave. Just ride it.
You mentioned panic attacks there when you were at school. What was behind that? Do you know?
I've just always been a very anxious person. I've been diagnosed with like anxiety and depression and everything. And it was literally just, it was ninth grade. And I remember looking at the clock in social studies, which is weird because I like social studies, but I think it was because the teacher was a bitch. Like I could not stand her. And so I looked at the clock and there was still a couple minutes left. And I just remember thinking, I have to get out of here. And then like something just, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden it felt like there's things called like derealization and like depersonalization where you feel like you are no longer in control of your body. It's like literally an out of body experience. So that's what was happening to me. And I was like, what the hell? And so then ever since then, like, I don't have them anymore, thankfully. I think the last time I had one was at the very toxic training place. So what does that tell you? Yeah. But yeah, no, I thankfully have them under control for the most part.
It's something to be said about finding a calling, or sort of finding your voice, and so many of those things.
Oh my God,
like
that's what my therapist would say.
Is it?
Yes.
Maybe I'm your therapist all along.
That would be amazing.
takes off the mask. It was me. Oh my God. Along. I have been warned that sometimes this show does accidentally dip into therapy. So that might be why.
It gets deep.
Just gets a little bit deep.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
But so we're riding the wave. You've gone through the ironing board via a razor's edge, and we spin ahead. And this non-assuming wrestler on the way up went, okay, I'll do a death match. Let's move ahead to October. You've just won the Matrimon death match tournament. That's a big deal. Like Matrimon is an icon of that of death match style of wrestling, in general. And when did you find out that you were going to go all the way in that tournament?
I found out a little while before it. He just kind of asked me. He's like, are you willing to do glass? And I was like, this is me just being like, yeah, why not? I was like, I've taken a couple light tubes before. Shouldn't be too bad. So I was like, yeah, sure. And he's like, all right, you're winning. And I just thought he was kind of messing with me. They do that to me a lot. They're like, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And like every time I'm like, no way. And then it comes to fruition. So that's how I found out. And then again, me just being so naive, I underestimate the amount of glass that was going to be in it. And then it wouldn't break, of course. And I remember somebody saying like, yeah, Tremont was like, he was like, oh my God, what the hell? Cause it wouldn't break. And he was like, I just think if he is worried, like that's saying something. I was like, oh, I was fine out there. But I'm just kind of like, oh, I kind of popped him.
When did you first meet Matrimon? Remember your first meeting with him?
It was my match with G-Raver. So Sean Henderson brought me in. I was very intimidated. I shouldn't have been, because he's like literally the nicest guy, but that was the first time I'd ever met. I knew who he was. Like, even though, like I mentioned before, I was kind of a late bloomer to the, you know, the independent scene, I knew who he was. So I think that kind of says a lot. Like, even if you're not totally immersed, like, you know who Matt Tremont is. And so I was like, oh my God, and Sean was like, yeah, he's going to be out there. He wants to watch your match specifically. And I was like, stop telling me these things. The anxiety. So yeah, that was the first time.
And he very much took you under his wing from there as well, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's a great honor.
Yeah. I still don't have words for it. Like, a year later, I'm still like, is this for real? Like, when's the other shoe going to drop, you know?
Maybe it's happening because you're in the right place and you deserve to be there. That's a crazy idea.
That's a possibility.
But it's what we won't allow ourselves to have, is it? It's like, no, there's clearly the 400 people.
There's a catch.
Yeah, there's something else. You know? These 400 people who are pulling for me, but there's one who thinks I'm an ass. So they must be right.
Right. God, get out of my head. Get out of here.
Bulldozer, you said that Bulldozer wrote you a note once.
It's on my wall. I keep a lot of sentimental things on my wall.
what does it say? What does the note say from Matt?
I don't know. So first of all, I don't even know if I was supposed to read it right away, because he said, like, wait 5 years when you're like famous and whatnot. And I was like, first of all, come on. And second, I was like, hey, oh, you can't tell me not to do something and then, like, I'm gonna do it. So I read it and it was just very supportive. Again, I don't really have words for it. I just want him to like explain why is all of this happening to me? And like in the note he did, but I'm like, I'm going to need you to go into further detail. So it was just, I don't know. He didn't have to do that. And he didn't have to do all the things that he's done for me.
Do you feel deep down that you're worth doing this for though?
I'm trying to, like, when I go out there, you know, we've all had nights where we're just like, I'm going to phone it in. I no longer feel that way. And I feel like I want to feel like I am worth it. So I'm in the process of working on that.
Which is why you don't have days where you phone it in, because you have the urge. And I know this because I'm exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. I think we are the same person.
Whereby it's every day I need to make sure that I prove why I should be doing it. I can't have an off day, because the moment I have an off day,
I don't want to give anybody a reason to be like, yeah, she sucks, or like, yeah, she, you know, she's a fraud.
A big thing with that comes with age, annoyingly, because I'm climbing up there now in years, and
I'm catching up.
Yeah. Well, you're doing fine, but it's something. It's something like, because I remember when I was in my 20s, it was very much like, I need to always be everything for everyone all the time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point? And I was like in my early 30s, and now I'm sort of in my mid to late 30s, and I'm just sort of like,
oh, I wouldn't have guessed.
Well, thank you very much. Very kind. It sounds really weird. My New Year's resolution has been to say no to more things.
Yes, that's a good goal to have.
Because I say yes to everything. And the other one is to, and it sounds like something off a Hallmark card, but I stand by it. And I hope one day that you're able to come to this conclusion yourself as well. Because I always have strived every year to say, I want to do more. I want to be more. I'm going to strive to learn that I'm enough.
Yes, it's okay to just be content. That's also what I learned in therapy.
Maybe I am the therapist.
Are you Amanda?
Oh, well, funny enough, I am on the weekend and it's Saturday, so that makes sense.
Oh!
But I don't mean to say that where in a condescending manner. It's just the fact that, like, I know from watching you how good you are, and it it's heartbreaking a little bit when you speak to someone, they go, I don't know why they're bothered, to be honest.
Well, I mean, you're it's really like you. Oh, thank you. I guess it's because that didn't really start happening until recently.
Yeah.
And it's like before that, you know, I go back and watch my old matches and everything. Like now that I'm in like a good mindset, I can go back and watch my old matches and kind of have like compassion for who I was. Like at the time I'd be like, I can't watch my match. Like, I know it sucked. Da da da. And I go back and watch. I'm like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that bad. All things considering, like, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have good guidance or anything. So I can go back and watch and have like sympathy for that person. So yeah, it is a lot of like getting older. It's as cheesy as it sounds.
It is cheesy, but it's true.
Sad, but true.
You talk a lot about riding the wave. And I want to know, I mean, that means just kind of going with whatever comes your way, but where would you like to ride the wave towards?
See, this is another thing that my therapist told me is she said, try not to have, like, you know, I'll see people on Twitter with like all these lists and everything. And like, you know, I want to work for these people and whatnot. And that's not to say that I don't want to work for everyone and anything as well. But you kind of have to, basically what she told me was you have to set goals that you are in control of. So if I say I want to work for X, Y, and Z, it's not up to me. You know, I can be as good as, you know, I try to keep the mindset of be so good they can't ignore you. But if they still don't want you, then like, that's not, I can't help that. So I try not to have, right. I try not to have goals so much as I have intentions, which is why my intent is to not phone it in, not half-ass it. You know, it'd be cool if, like, afterwards, I just want to be happy with the match. I want to make sure my opponent is happy with the match. I want to make sure we both had fun. That's my main goal in wrestling, is to have fun. But, like, also, it wouldn't hurt if, like, I go on Twitter afterwards and, you know, people are saying, oh, like, Kennedy had the match of the night. So that, you know, that would be a nice wave to ride, but you're not always going to catch it.
It felt that way coming out of Restival just the other week. There was a lot, because you worked three matches over Restival weekend.
Four?
Was it four in the end? Oh, four? Wow.
Well, I mean, yeah, four. See, I don't even, can't even keep track.
Because that was a sort of a perfect circumstance whereby there were so many moving parts on that weekend. I know a few matches changed and moved around because of one thing or another. And to run a festival style weekend during, you know, all this pandemic works as well.
Gestures vaguely.
All this is ridiculous. But what was a highlight for you that particular weekend with Restival?
So I honestly think just being able to pull it all off, like, props to everybody, just because we had to roll with so many punches. But my goal was to have to be like, because it ran Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, my goal was to be featured on every day. Technically I was, because even though I didn't wrestle on Friday, I had to cut a promo, and to me that is harder than wrestling because I am not good at talking. So I was like, okay, like, I wrestled on Thursday, I got to, you know, be on the mic on Friday, and everyone afterwards was like, that was beautiful. I'm like, thank you. I got to wrestle on Saturday. So like, to be a part of every day and to, you know, to wrestle on four shows, I was like, this is not something I'm going to take lightly. So I just want to be worth their while, pretty much. Like, I want them to be happy with the fact that, like, okay, this show got canceled, so we're gonna put this one on, and we're gonna put, you know, Kennedy here. Like, I don't want to be, not a waste of space, but like, I just want to be worth their time,
give them money's worth. I get it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
I get it.
I don't want to just say, cool, I had four matches, like, that's all I, you know, wanted to see. Like, no, I want quality over quantity. So I wanted every one of those matches to be worth something.
Nice. I like that. We've got one more match to get to before we do. I also like to spring this on people. It's nothing bad, I promise.
Oh, God.
It's going to make the dogs jump again. we also no, like out. To ask... Are they gone? Oh,
I bored quite. Them, I guess. Sorry, guys.
I told you, Lucy's a WCW girl. That's why she left. No,
she's still here.
Picking any matches from Nitro, bored. As well as three wrestling matches, you're also allowed to take with you, and I like to ask this to get like a...
Oh.
What your top reaction is. You're also allowed to take with you a movie, an album... and a luxury item. So the luxury item, that can be something with sentimental value. It can be a bit of tech to have on the island. It could be something practical if you wanted. But we'll get to that in a moment. If I said okay. to you, Kennedy, you could take a movie with you, what movie would you take?
Oh, the first one that sprung to my mind is The Dark Knight. But I find myself... I went back. So I had COVID a couple of weeks back. Oh, what is happening? Leave me alone, work. I'm not there. Oh my God, I lost my train of thought. So no, I had COVID a couple of weeks ago. So I actually watched all the Batman movies, and I think Batman Begins held up the best. So I might bring that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it started it all. So I mean,
How was your version of COVID? Did you, what weird and wonderful symptoms did you get?
So I was coughing so hard that I thought I threw out my back. Turns out that's just, another symptom is back pain. Cause what isn't a symptom? Mm-hmm. And then the next day I was like, I can't stay awake at work. I left early to get a test, and then I just like passed out. And like those, like, I now know what fever dreams are. I was like, whoa. And then the next day I'm waiting for the test results to come back. And I was like, I think I already have my answer because I can't smell. So that was trippy. And then I slept for a whole week. So honestly, like a 10 out of 10 would do again. But I was like, I get to sleep. This is amazing. It was like a break that my body needed. It really was.
There's part of me that gets that from a lot of people where they're like, it's just nice to have a bit of time off.
Yeah. To like, lay in bed and not feel bad about it. I'm like, I'm doing my part as a citizen. Yes. So I just, I get that, you know, other people have it worse. So I'm very grateful that, you know, my experience was not doom and gloom.
Yeah, it was, and in those small waking hours that you had, you got to watch the Batman films, and Batman Begins yes. holds up the best, you say?
I think so. I was okay. Like, there was some, hate admitting it. Cause like, it was my whole teenagehood, if that's a word, the whole Batman series. So like going back and watching it, I'm like, I think it's because like, I don't know, everyone's like, the Joker. I don't know what it is, but no, I really like Batman Begins.
How about an album?
Okay. You can't make me choose.
You're gonna have to.
I'm like staring at, so I have like Alter Bridge and like Ghost stuff on my wall, and I'm like, nice. Looking at it, I can't choose between them. But recently, I'm just gonna go with the most recent one. I think, oh God, don't judge me, Daughtry's first album.
No judging at all. Is
okay.
Is that the one with I'm Coming Home on?
Yes,
I'm coming home. That's
oh my God,
I like that honestly, album.
It's so good. If you can get past the, you know, the corny hits and everything, like he's actually really good.
He's got some sleepers. He can be a bit dollar store sort of Creed style, but otherwise he's fine.
My God, stop. I love Creed too. So I think that's why I'm okay with that. Screw it, we'll bring Creed.
It's a good, because he was a guy who did American Idol, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's like the best thing to come out of there.
That's it. And then he went, I do rock stuff, and they tried
it's
to sort
funny
of
that,
shoehorn him, and he did a rock album.
Yeah, good for him. And like he like, it's funny that you mentioned Creed, because like I think he was supposed to tour with Tremonti. Like they're all in the same, you know, the same bag, so.
That'd be amazing. So, yeah. Okay, we'll good
just,
shout.
I've had that on repeat, so we'll bring that along because I'm not sick of it yet.
Good shout on Daughtry. This is Daughtry. Luxury item. What would you like for your luxury item then?
I don't know. I'm not very luxurious. I guess just this so I can keep doing these fun podcasts. A phone counts, right?
Yeah, you could take
tech.
Yeah, you could take. Okay, if you can't, I would obviously don't want to use it to ring for a boat to come and get you because some people have tried
that's
that.
That's fine.
Do you play games on your phone?
No, I don't.
What would you? What
I
would
don't
you,
have time.
Coming up, because I know that we're doing this interview very early in the morning for your wonderful self, and you're about to hit the road. So I'm just curious as to what you'll do if you do anything on your phone to pass the time on the journey.
So if I can't ring for a boat,
no.
Can I still like just use Twitter? I won't put it out in SOS.
Can't tweet for a boat either.
No, I said I won't. I won't put out an SOS, but like I just want to keep, you know, up to date with everything. What's going on?
That's fine. You can take your phone. That's absolutely
okay.
Fine. We'll let that slide.
And then I'll download games then, because I'll have all the free time in the world.
Lovely. Okay, let's do your third and final match then. So we've had Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn from TakeOver, Edge versus Mick Foley from WrestleMania. What's your third one going to be, Kennedy?
Okay, so I'm sure as we all know by now, sorry, Lucy, but I grew up on WWE, so that's it's just who I am, okay? So I also have Kurt Angle versus Eddie Guerrero at WrestleMania 20.
Great show.
Yes. I really like it.
It's the finish is brilliant with Eddie undoing his shoes to get out of the ankle lock. It's genius.
Just the whole, like, it was so not simple, but like effective, and it worked with everybody's character. The storytelling was great, and just it was, I don't know. It was just so fundamentally sound.
So this would have been 2004. Where would you have been when you watched this for the first time?
I was in fifth grade, I think. Oh God, don't do math, people. Then you'll know how old I am. But yeah, I was in fifth grade, and like it's really funny because I absolutely love Kurt Angle now. I just love like his style and everything. But at the time, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, he's such a bully and like he's a jerk. And at the time, I can see why like his style to me would have been boring. Because, you know, it's like I said, it's so fundamentally sound. And like it's a lot of it was like back to basics, but it was just so good. But like at the time, as a kid, I did not like Kurt Angle. And looking back, I'm like, good for him. He did his job. Like, you weren't supposed to like him. And so I'm like, God, amazing. Amazing.
we have a newfound respect as you get a little older for Kurt Angle, because as a heel, he's so effective. And then when you go, actually, yeah, like you say, great job in putting Eddie Guerrero across it. Madison Square Garden as well. It was just it was all the wrestling stars beautifully aligning for that match.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that whole show, I mean, I don't know if we can talk about like the main event, but like
it's a weird one, isn't it? Because I mean, it's a lot of people feel. I mean, I was asked recently to do like a tier list of all the WrestleMania main events, and I felt weird with that one because of who's in it. But if you remove, you know, if you remove the man from the artwork, it's a phenomenal main event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and good. I was like such a huge fan of him. Like he was the first wrestler I ever met. And so I was a huge fan of him. And so like to see, you know, the culmination of like all of that hard work and everything, I think it was just very like, okay, cool. Like it can happen to people. You know what I mean? So.
Did he inspire you then? I mean, obviously Eddie Guerrero as well is another one because both Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero had that scene at the end of WrestleMania where they're both WWE world champions in their own, on their own respective brands. And there is that feeling. It's bittersweet to watch it. It's sad. It was amazing at the time.
There's
it's
a lot
sad
of
to watch it now. Yeah, it's all things.
It now.
But then like Eddie Guerrero is there as well. And he's someone like Chris Benoit who was told, you know, you're a short guy. You're clearly a cruiserweight guy. And there they both are top of the mountain in WWE. And it's just, at the time, it's so wonderful. But it's so sad now. But at the time.
I know.
But I love that it made you go, you know what? Anything is possible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because I mean, my whole life, like, I mean, even now, people are like, you're too skinny. I'm like, I can't help that. I don't know what you want me to do. So I, you know, I guess I can kind of identify with the you're too small comments. So to kind of look and see like, well, they're doing it. So why can't I?
And we're excited to watch you continue to ride the wave into 2022. And
if I'm excited to surf.
people want to watch from a safe distance you surfing. Where can they find you online, Kennedy?
So I am on Instagram at the Kennedy Copeland. This is the part I never do my homework. I'm like, what is my handle? I am on Facebook, but I use that to shit post a lot. And I've been banned from it like a couple of times.
What got you banned?
So I threatened Miles Millennium. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but you should be. He started it though. That's the thing. And so they're like, you're banned for 24 hours. You can't comment or like or do anything. I'm like, what the hell? And that's not the first time one of my posts have gone against their guidelines. So I don't really care for Facebook. But I think I use Twitter the most. And that one is Kennedy Copeland. But wherever there should be an E, there is a 3 because somebody else took all the handles that I wanted. And then Bryce Donovan was calling me Kenna 3. I'm like, I kind of like that, actually.
Kenna 3 is a good one. You can always keep that in the back pocket.
Yeah, you know what? I might have to.
Kennedy Copeland with all the E's becoming 3.
Kenna 3 Copeland.
Easy, easy money. Thank you and thank the dogs for being a part of Cultaholic.
Thank you.
Today.
I'm going to thank them for being so good. I literally one time had to like leave one of these things because they were being awful. First of all, my service ain't working, so we keep cutting out. Second of all, I was like, I can't get them under control, so we'll have to do this some other time. It was so bad. So I'm gonna thank them for being really good. They get treats.
But there's something special about doing these on Zoom where you do have that and having them in the background. I had one of these with Jonathan Gresham the other week, and Gresham's dogs were going wild.
Oh my god!
And he just very calmly went, "Excuse me, 1 minute." And he left the room.
Oh, he's so funny.
And you just heard a door slam, and then you heard him come back through, and he was like, okay, Garrett. And I was like, did you kill them?
Oh my God.
I didn't say Everything's okay? Is everything all right, Jonathan? You got a tear in your eye. But no, it was, he was lovely. And all of you have been a treasure.
I did
today.
A seminar with him once. Oh my God. Best experience of my life. Would do it again.
What did you learn from Jonathan Gresham that you didn't know before?
So he was very like reaffirming. And this was kind of like after I had recently come back the second time and, you know, the imposter syndrome was still very real. And so we had a practice match and like they would watch and observe and like, you know, critique. And I literally just like, I was like, like I said, I'm a skinny girl. I can't do much, but yes, I am. The point of wrestling is to pin people. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to, I cursed. I don't know if curses are allowed.
Yeah, you can say that's fine.
Oh, okay. This whole time I was like, don't.
Bless you. Thank you. You can fucking swear. It's fine.
Hey, you're British. You don't care. Right?
That's fine.
So I literally just did like, you know, a bunch of pins for like my shine, whatever. And he came up to me. He's like, you should really stick with that. Cause like, nobody else really does that. You know what I mean? Cause I literally did like no other move, like actual move. And for him to come up to me and be like, yep, you're doing it right. I was like, oh, like I needed to hear that.
If Gresham says so, then it's gotta be right.
Right? God, I don't know. I see him in passing a couple of times. I don't know if he like even remembers that was me or who I am, but like, that's just something that will always stick with me.
But that's great that it does though, and and long may things like that keep happening in 2022. That's why.
Yes, let's manifest.
Lucy, any final words?
She just yawned. Oh, there you go.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.